great visitation from the Lord, a powerful message that I will never forget, preached by Brother Townley. A righteous YOLO. A righteous YOLO. Put a whole new meaning on that. I'm going to tell you, we don't let the world define us. We don't let the world tell us what's normal. We're redefining that. Praise God. And just so happy for the visitation of the Lord, the anointing of God. I feel like I have received greatly for being a part of this meeting and just been blessed by the presence of the Lord, the good preaching. And I know when you come to these meetings and you're a participant, sometimes you feel the burden and the weight, but I haven't felt a lot of pressure. I just felt that there's people that are hungry for a move of God and desirous to see the Lord have His way. And I really feel the sincerity of that in this meeting. And who knows what God will continue to do if He tarries, is coming with this family camp. And I'm just impressed. Everything. The music has been outstanding. It's been tremendous. All of these good brethren, it's good to be here with you and fellowship with you. I give honor to this steering committee, Elder Johnson, Brother Tim Johnson, Brother Weeks, Brother Thrasher, Brother Wood, and all the others that help along with them. What an awesome time we have had. Amen. I really feel the Lord has placed His stamp of approval on what we're doing. You have your Bibles tonight. I invite your attention to 2 Samuel, 2 Samuel chapter number 5 and verse 17. And then we'll be going on in the same book to chapter 23. Second Samuel chapter number 5 and verse 17. But when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines come up to seek David. And David heard of it and went down to the hold. And the Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into mine hand?" And the Lord said unto David, "Go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thine hand." And David came to Belrism, and David smote them there, and said, "The Lord hath broken forth upon mine enemies before me, and as the breach of waters, therefore he called the name of the place Belperism." And there they left their images, and David and his men burnt them. And the Philistines came up yet again, and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, "Thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them, and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. And let it be, when thou hearest the sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt bestir thyself, for then shall the Lord go up or go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines." And David did so as the Lord had commanded him, and smote the Philistines from Geba until thou come to Gezer. And then I want to look in chapter 23. Chapter 23 and verse 14. And David was then in a hold. The garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, "Oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." And the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, that poured it out unto the Lord. One more quick verse of Scripture. found in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11. And verse 6, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder. Everybody say rewarder. Of them that diligently, everybody say diligently. Of them that diligently seek Him. I want to preach by the Lord's help, and I pray you'll help me a little bit here tonight also. I want to preach the reward of an unfinished fight. The reward of an unfinished fight. Would you lift up your hands and let's pray that the Lord would bless His anointing would be upon us here in this house. We need His blessing, His touch in the remainder of this camp meeting. Would you pray fervently right now as young people know how to pray? Lift up your voice. Meet with us in this place. Have your way upon every heart and life. In Jesus' name, would you clap your hands to the Lord and lift up your voice? Come on, somebody give Him a little thanksgiving right now. Hallelujah. Praise God. Isn't God good? Isn't He wonderful? He's done something for you this week. You ought to praise Him for it. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. I believe that David's experience with the Philistines began at a very young age. Probably sitting around the campfires of Israel, he would hear men exchanging their war stories of what had happened as soldiers in their past, how that God had delivered them from their enemies, how that God had been with His people through all of their struggles and continually giving them victory time and time again over the enemies that they would engage. And then invariably the conversation would always turn towards that arch rival, Israel's perennial enemy, the Philistines. And because David had a few brothers that were older than he, that were enlisted in Israel's army, he surely had heard a few war stories of theirs. So no doubt, from a very early age, David grows up to hear about battles and wars that his people had fought against the Philistines. Then later in life, he has his own personal encounter with the Philistines. After many years of hearing about God's people and how that they had fought against this enemy, finally, David goes out to the battlefield by the commissioning of his father to give supplies to his brethren. And he hears the booming voice of the giant Goliath challenging the people of God from the valley. And the conditions of the battle are clear. There's no sense in sending out all of the men to do war, but let's choose a champion that will go up and fight against him. And whoever the victor is, his people will rule the other. David, being full of faith, thinks that this sounds simple enough. At last, we've got a chance to put this long war to rest. At last, we can settle this once and for all. I mean, I have heard the stories from the time that I was a child, how God has always given us the victory over the Philistines. Why should we begin to fear them now? We've been fighting Philistines ever since I can remember. So what's new about this? What's new about this battle? This will be it. We can settle it right now. Once and for all, it'll be over. We won't have to deal with them again. They said if we won, that they would serve us. And so David goes out into the battlefield, and through the help of the Lord and the guidance of a smooth stone by the hand of the Lord that strikes the giant in his forehead, and he falls to the earth. But David does not just knock the giant down, but he goes and unsheathes the sword of Goliath, and he cuts his head off. Amen. I want to tell you, in this youth camp, it's not enough just to knock some things down. It's not enough just to get a little bit of a good feeling and then go back to the same struggle and the same problem and have to face the same giant. But I believe that some young people this week received some answers, got a hold of God, got some victory that's going to last you more than just a week, more than just a month, more than just till the weekend, but you got some victory that's going to last you. You vanquished some enemies. You took control of some situations in your life. Amen. If you feel that, why don't you clap your hands to the Lord right now? Cuts the giant's head off, and that should be the end of the story, right? As far as the Philistines are concerned, they should never really be a problem, a challenge, or a threat to God's people again. But guess what? They don't keep their word. And the enemy never keeps his word. They did not quit. They were relentless. They did not stop. They did not leave them alone. But they continue to fight. So David grows up, and throughout his young life and into his adult life, he is continually, you can read it throughout the book of 1 and 2 Samuel, he's continually fighting the Philistines. Not just one battle, not just two battles, not three battles, but even before he becomes king, they're singing their songs that David has killed his tens of thousands of Philistines. Now, of course, this was not the only enemy that David would ever encounter. This was not the only enemy that David would ever have in his life. There was the Amalekites. There were the Hivites. There was the Jebusites. There was the Amorites. There were all kinds of enemies. There were the Syrians. There was the Hasirians, there was the Moabites and the Canaanites that David would have to go out and do battle with. And there were enemies like the Jebusites that David would go out and do battle with. And no one else had been able to conquer them. No one else had been able to be victorious over them. But David would go out, and seemingly in one foul swoop, he would defeat the enemy. And you would never hear from them again. He would literally obliterate the Amalekites. They're not around anymore. He would totally, it seems, almost annihilate the Moabites. They're virtually gone. Why? Because David had defeated them. It was just one battle, one skirmish, one encounter, one war, and they're gone forever. But there is this other enemy that David fights that is called the Philistines. And it seems that he cannot defeat them in just one battle. Oh, he would like to, because he has defeated so many other armies, so many other enemies in just one encounter, one time of coming against them. He was able to vanquish them and bring home the victory. But the Philistines, he can't seem to overcome them in just one battle. In fact, he fights them many times, and he never totally vanquishes them. In the time that he was king alone, not counting other skirmishes and other battles, just in the time that he was king alone, there is 10 major wars with the Philistines. And then, of course, a host of other battles and challenges and times when the Philistines had came against God's people. The Bible describes it like this in one place. it says it came to pass that David smote the Philistines and subdued them and took Gath and her towns out of the hands of the Philistines. And then you look right down past that, and it starts almost all over again, and there was a war again with the Philistines. Look down just a few more verses, and it says, and there was war again with the Philistines. The next verse, and again they came up, and again they came up, till finally the Bible says, with a sense of despair, and they came up yet again. You find David going out to fight this same enemy over and over and over again. You find him going out and fighting on the same battlefield, over the same piece of ground, over and over and over again. You find David fighting for the very same things over and over and over again. Now you talk about a test to a person's faith. Fighting the same enemy over again. Again and again and again. You talk about a test to an individual's faith and how it wears on a person. You know, if we could go on to greater victories, and if we could go on to other enemies and other challenges and other trials and other struggles and other temptations, then I would understand. But here, this guy who God has anointed, his life is filled with purpose. He has authority. And it seems that he can conquer Syrians, and he can conquer Amalekites, and he can conquer Jebusites, and they never come back to be a serious threat to him ever again. He can go out and defeat Moab and the Hittites and totally annihilate them. He can fight against some enemies and totally wipe them out. But when he goes out to fight against this enemy called the Philistine, every time he defeats them, somehow they get back up and they come back against him again. He takes Gath and the towns thereof. He beats them back. And as soon as he gets home, and he hangs up his armor, and he puts his weapons away. The messenger, a servant, comes and says, I got bad news for you, David. I know you just got off the battlefield. I know you just come in from a great victory, and I know you want to celebrate, and I know you want to take some time and rejoice about what the Lord has done. But David, I just got to tell you, the Philistines, they're back down there at Geba. And David gets on his armor and picks up his sword, and he said, well, there's only one thing to do, and that's just go back out on the battlefield. And he goes down there to Geba and defeats them. And he goes back home and he kicks up his heels to rest. And there's a knock on the door, and it's another messenger that comes and said, I know this is not what you want to hear, David, but I'm going to tell you that the Philistines, they're back again. They gather themselves back down there at Gath again. And so it goes down, and he does battle at Gath. And it seems it's a never-ending ordeal. They're back at Gath. They're back at Geba. They're back at Gezer. And you find David fighting the same enemy in the same places, fighting over the same things over and over and over again. And you've got to imagine what this does to a man's faith. I overcome this enemy over here. I defeat and annihilate this one over here. I wrestle this one down. I conquer this situation. I'm victorious over this ordeal. But there's one enemy that keeps on coming against me. Now, I'm preaching to people in this room that you have won some great victories in your life.
Some of them has been run on these old campgrounds this week. I saw some young people in these altars and families in these altars. I saw some men and some women that I'm certain of one thing. You got through. You got a breakthrough. You got a blessing from God. You won some victories. You covered some ground. You accomplished some things in the Spirit. You broke through to a place in God that you've been needing to for a long time. You went through a dimension in the Spirit that you've been needing to for a long time. God satisfied and settled some things in your soul that's been needing to happen for a long time. Amen. In this room, you defeated some Jebusites. You defeated some Amalekites. There's been some Moabites that's been bothering you. You got the victory over them. There's been some Syrians and Assyrians that you got the victory over. But there's some things that it seems like, amen, when you come to services like this and meetings like this and maybe even at your home church, there's some things that seem like it just refused to die. They refused to quit. They refused to stop. They just keep coming back. Get down on a Sunday night church service and God's moving, the Holy Ghost is having its way. You feel the presence of God so strong. The preachers preach the dynamic message and you say, this is the night. This is the service. This is the moment. I'm going to get some victory. I'm going to get over this thing. This is a hurdle. I'm going to get over in the Spirit. And it's never going to bother me again. I'm not going to have to deal with it anymore. And you come down to the altar and when you get there, the Lord meets you. You feel lifted in your spirit. You feel like the Lord gives you a fresh anointing. You walk out. You feel like the devil's under your feet. You feel like you're shaking that heavy burden off. You feel like you're on top of things. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. You broke through. The Lord has done something for you. Your worship has suddenly been liberated. You can worship God like you haven't been able to worship God in a long while. You lift your hands and you feel the freedom of the Holy Ghost. You sing and you feel the touch of God like you haven't been able to in a long time. But lo and behold, before you can even celebrate sometimes, here it comes again and it wears on you and it dogs you and it test your faith. It's a struggle that you continually face. Come on, I'm preaching to somebody here tonight. I know what I feel in my spirit. I feel the Holy Ghost to encourage somebody. And we're going to leave here with some victory. We're going to leave here on top of some things tonight. We're going to leave here with a revelation and a fresh understanding. We're going to leave these old campgrounds with an understanding. We've got somebody on our side that will help us. We got somebody on our side that will give us the victory. We got somebody on our side that is always going to fight for us. You say to yourself, if I could go on to new enemies and new conquests, then I could deal with it. But it's this same old problem. It's this same old discouragement. It's this same old spirit. It's this same old deal that I've had to face. It's resisted me. It's tried to stop me. It's tried to hinder me. It's tried to hold me back. Somebody help me preach a little bit here tonight. I go back to the altar and I feel a measure of victory. I break through one more time. I get my pastor to lay hands on me and say, hey brother, pray for me. I need a fresh anointing. I need God to come through. I need him to answer my prayer. I need him to work some things out in my life. And you get victory, and you feel good. And maybe even several weeks, maybe perhaps even months go by, and then out of nowhere, here comes the Philistines. It's not a new thing. It's not a new enemy. It's not a spirit that you've never encountered. It's not something that you're not familiar with. It's not something that you haven't dealt with. If it was something new, then you could understand why the struggle's so fierce. If it was something new, you could understand the intensity of that moment. If it was something new, you could understand why you're still struggling and why you're fighting and why you're feeling the way you're fighting. Oh! But why is it that it keeps on keeps on bogging me, keeps on suppressing, keeps on resisting, keeps on pushing against.
It's that very same thing that I've wrestled with for years, and it keeps coming back. I'm preaching to someone here tonight that the devil keeps beating you up because you think, and this is what he tries to convince you of, there must be, there has to be something wrong with my faith, something wrong with my Holy Ghost, something wrong with my experience, something wrong with my anointing, something wrong with my prayer life, something wrong with my walk with God, if I've got to keep fighting the same thing over and over again. Maybe I misunderstood something. God, I thought that there's something wrong with me. Amen. I thought that your anointing was going to be there and available to me. I thought that you said you were going to deliver me. I thought you said you were going to give me victory. I thought you said that I could conquer in this battle. But I fight the same enemy over and over again. Let me tell you something right now. You're going to be able to defeat certain situations. You're going to be able to vanquish, if I could say it that way, certain situations. You're going to be able to overcome in certain areas and defeat certain things in your life. And they will never return. They'll never be a threat to you. They'll never be a serious situation with that ever again. While there's other things that you've got to keep coming back to the altar. You've got to keep on believing God. You got to keep holding on by faith. Not once but many times. You got to pray through. Not once but many times. You got to get through the victory. Not once but many times. You got to get down to that altar and say, I'm not getting up from this place until I break through. I'm not going to stop until I get some victory. I'm not going to quit until God does it again. I'm going to stay right here. That's the only way you're going to make heaven, young person, if you stay close to the altar and say, God, I'm going to linger here until I feel that peace again, until I get that confirmation again, until you come through and answer me again. Come on, somebody lift up your voice and let's talk to God for a few moments here. Well, there's other things that you will pray through. Not once, but many times, amen, you'll be able to come back and feel that victory and feel that refreshing power of God. Tomorrow, you're going to come back and fight it. And in a month from now, you're going to have to come back and deal with it again. And a year from now, the Lord tarries. You're going to have to pray through it again. David fought Philistines from the time he was a 16-year-old boy until he was an aged king. He just never stopped. He never quit. He never gave up. For decades, for generations. But here's the key. Never one time did they ever defeat David. Not one time did they ever get the upper hand. Not one time did he ever go home without victory. Not ever one time did they ever overcome him. Why? Because he simply never gave up. He never quit fighting. He never relented. He never yielded. He never quit believing God for victory. David just said, as long as there's Philistines that are around, I'll fight them. I'll step up to the challenge. I won't quit. I won't give in. I won't back off. But if there's a battle to fight, I'm in. I'm in. Here I am. I'll fight the Philistines whenever they stick up their head. You might say, well, preacher, I'm so tired of fighting the same enemy. I'm certain David felt that way at times. David, they're back over there at Gath.
Amen. David, they're back over there at Sheba. David, they're back at Gaza. But he never failed to suit up in his armor. He never failed to grab his sword in his hand and go back to the battlefield, fighting the same enemy in the same place over the same thing. And God never let David lose a battle because he never stopped fighting. David never lost a battle with the Philistines, not once, not once, because he stayed in the fight. I said he stayed in the fight. Last couple of years, there's been precious people that I love, and I still love them very dearly, in our local congregation that have came to me and have told me, Pastor, I'm not offended with you. I'm not mad at the man of God. I'm not disgruntled with the church. There's nobody that I have a problem with here. But I'm just going to be completely frank with you, Pastor. I'm tired of fighting. I'm tired of struggling. I'm tired of dealing with this. It's not you. It's not the church. It's not God. I'm not bitter. I don't have a problem with anybody else. But it's just internal. I'm tired of fighting. You must understand that David never lost a battle with the Philistines because he never stopped fighting Philistines. But when David was anointed king over Israel, the Bible says that all, not just a few, not just a portion, but that's what the Bible said. All the Philistines came up to seek David. Did you really think that the devil was going to take all that's happened here at this camp meeting this week? The victory, the miracles, people getting the Holy Ghost, your church, your family, your youth group going to a new level. Did you really think the devil was going to take that laying down? When you got what you got here at this meeting, Pastor, it seems like all of hell's fighting. Yeah, all the Philistines came up and set up a garrison. Hallelujah. Spread themselves out and said, you know what? We're going to resist what's happening here. We're going to try to stop what's happening here. We're going to try to shut down what's happening over that Cornerstone family camp. We're going to try to put that fire out before it spreads to the local church. We're not going to let them go home and talk about what a victory they got and what a miracle they possessed and what promises God fulfilled in their life. We're not going to let them get home and get to bragging about this before they load on those buses. We're going to try to fight them and stop this thing before it ever gets started. But I got news for the enemy. When the lights go out tonight, we're not through fighting. We're not through. We're not through praying. We're not through worshiping. We're not through gaining ground. We're not through coming to the church and saying, God, I need you to move tonight in my life. We're not through praying through people through the Holy Ghost. We just got started. Somebody ought to lift up their hands and their voice to God. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. I feel like somebody needs to make up their mind. This is not the conclusion of a thing. This is the beginning of a thing. I got some things I needed at that camp to go out and do battle against the enemy with. Yeah, God has given me a whole arsenal of weapons. I've learned and I understand through the preaching at that youth camp that God is going to help me and I can be victorious every time over my enemy. I don't have to keep succumbing. I don't have to keep falling down. I don't have to keep dealing with this in the same way. But I'm going to raise up to the challenge. I'm going to rise to the occasion. fight's not finished with tonight. Oh yeah. I said the fight's not finished with tonight. I just saw the notice on the devil. There's some red hot young people that are going home. They're not going to stop praying and worshiping. When this is over with. But if you think we worship down there at Cornerstone, when we get home, we're really going to worship God. You think we prayed down there at those altars when we get home? If you think we got involved down there at that meeting, I promise you, when we get home, we're involved in the work of God like never before.
Come a point when the Philistines came and set up a garrison in the city of Bethlehem. Now you understand that Bethlehem was an important place to David. It was his city. Bethlehem meant the house of bread. But the enemy had set up a permanent military outpost in Bethlehem. Now it's one thing to fight the Philistines in Gath. It's another thing to fight Philistines and Geba and Gezer and on other soil. But now it's another thing entirely to have to fight them in the house of the Lord. But I got to tell you, it wasn't David's fault that they were there. Saul was king before David, and Saul had gotten tired of fighting Philistines. He got tired of doing battle with the same old thing. He got tired of going to the altar and praying through over the same old issues, knowing that the enemy was going to come back. Saul simply quit fighting the Philistines, so they managed to get a stronghold in the house of God. It's one thing to fight the devil out there. It's another thing to fight him out there on the job. It's one thing to fight him at school. But it's quite another thing to have to fight him when you come to church. But you understand, if you don't fight him out there, if you don't confront the battle out there, it isn't going to be long till the battlefield is going to be in here. If you don't wrestle that thing down out there, it isn't long till you're going to have to deal with it in here. And every time you try to get a touch from God, and every time you try to break through to victory, He's going to tell you that you can't break through. He's going to tell you that you can't have it. That you can't possess it. But David said, oh, for a drink of the well of Bethlehem, which is outside the gate there. And the Bible said that there was men, mighty men, that broke through. Amen. There was some men that said, if the king desires it, we're going to break through and get it for him. Praise the Lord. David said you can have it any way you want it, enemy, but we're going to break through. We're going to get what we need. We're not going to let you bind up our altars. We're not going to let you restrict what goes on in our church. There's going to be liberty here. There's going to be worship here. There's going to be anointing here. There's going to be power here. I think we'll just take a few moments. Somebody ought to grab another by the hand and just leap for joy right now and say, not in these altars, not in this church, not in my youth group, not in my family. David said, what's going on here? This is my city. This is Bethlehem. This is the house of God. Yeah. It isn't supposed to be like this.
David said, God, shall I go up? And the Lord said to David, go up. I will doubtless deliver me. He has a new anointing. He has a fresh word from God. He has a fresh confidence. He said, okay, this is it. Finally, never again. It's never going to happen again. I've defeated them. They're never going to come back. After this battle, it's all going to be over with. And as soon as the battle's over, as soon as he wins the victory, he arrives back home, weary, bone tired, battered, takes his armor off and hangs up his weapons, sits down in his recliner and has his wife pour him an ice cold glass of tea, sits back and pops up his heels, and the messenger comes and said, hey, Dave, I'm sorry to tell you that they're back. They spread themselves out in the valley again. And maybe David went to the Lord and said, I don't understand this. I thought this would be it. I thought it would be over. You said you'd be with me. I remember receiving a fresh word from the Lord. In fact, I seem to remember the words, doubtless deliverance. And they're back. And they're not just back, but they're back in the same place. And I can hear God say to David, David, I never said this would be your last battle with the Philistines. But I just told you that if you went out to the battle, that I would doubtless deliver you. I don't care how many times you've got to go back. I'm going to keep bringing deliverance. I'm going to keep giving you victory. I'm going to give you the ability to conquer. You're going to be able to overcome. Hallelujah. I don't know. Maybe there's somebody that said, there must be something wrong with me. I'm having to deal with the same thing. I'm struggling with the same problem. I come here to youth camp and I'm dealing with the same thing I dealt with last year at youth camp. Is there something wrong with me? I'm going to tell you what the answer is. Keep coming down to this altar and say, God, you promised as long as I go to the battlefield, you give me victory. As long as I will go to the altar, you give me an answer. As long as I keep praying, you keep helping me to break through. Come on, is there somebody that feels like I'm going to rise up again? I'm going to take control again. I'm going to get some victory again. And if it comes back next week, you'll find me in the altar. If it comes back a month from now, I'm still going to be worshiping. I'm still going to be praising God. I'm still going to be believing. I'm going to reach over to somebody right now. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. The devil's tried to beat you up and badger you and tell you your faith's weak. You're not what you ought to be. Your prayer life is not where it needs to be. Your walk with God, there must be something wrong with it. You don't have a true experience. But there's some things you just got to keep on breaking through and praying through and believing God for. And as long as you stay in the fight, the reward is this. I keep giving you victory. I keep giving you victory. I keep helping you to overcome. I keep giving you the breakthrough if you believe God for it. I think there needs to be a battle cry that goes up in this house. There needs to be some young people that put all their energy and all of their strength and all of their vitality into crying out to God. Why don't you lift up your voice right now? Why don't you lift up your voice right now and say, God, I need your touch again. I need fresh oil of anointing again. I need a breakthrough again. Would you hear my cry one more time? Would you break through for me one more? Come on, young person, lift up your voice. Lift up your voice. Let's sing. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. victory's here for you. I said victory's here for you. Deliverance is here for you. The answer's here in this altar. The breakthrough's here in this altar. It's right here that God can help you. It's right here that you can find grace for the struggle.
For survival, we daily meet the foe. We're out here on this old battlefield. At times we stand alone.
Yes, come on,
we
pray
for
our
holy armor.
Reach out to the Lord.
March on to the battlefield.